a number of years ago, you were involved in a domestic violence relationship. You ended up getting married to the man, right?
Yes, I married him. Actually, before I married him, he was a sweetheart. I mean, he was like the perfect gentleman. He was like a knight in shining armor. Everything was all about me. He gave me lots of attention and catered to me and was just very attentive. And then after I said I do is when it all changed.
On average, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. Domestic violence is extremely prevalent in the U.S., and it's prevalent here in Middle Tennessee as well. 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men experience intimate partner physical violence, and intimate partner sexual violence, and or intimate partner stalking in their lifetime. Those numbers are pretty high.
What do you think happened? I mean, what sparked that change?
I think that that's just what someone that is an abuser, I think that's just the way they do.
Tina Chafin went through domestic violence right after she got married. She said the man that she married never acted in a way that appeared to be domestic violence prior to the marriage. Then after they got married, that's when the monster was released.
I think they, once you're in the marriage and you are committed to them, then they know it's almost like they think you're their property then, and they can do what they want to.
Did you ever look back to his history to find out if domestic violence was something that occurred in his family years ago?
Well, I was around his mom and dad a lot, and I didn't know that, but yes. The way that we later found out was after my accident in the hospital and all that, then his dad came to my father's house where I was, and he sat there and wept because he felt like he was responsible because that's what he taught his son when he beat on his mother.
How does it make you feel that so much of this is generational?
It's sad, but it's also, we know too, by that, we know that we can make a difference. Education, knowledge, awareness, that can help to break the cycle that one learns from another generation before it. And in his case, he was fifth generation abuser, is what his father said.
Now, you showed me a picture that was taken not too long after you got married. About what year did you get married, and then about when did you actually go to the hospital because you got beaten so badly?
Well, October, and I'm guessing that it was 96 when we got married, so October 96, and there may be a year off there, but October 96 we got married. The first beating was in December because I put the Christmas tree up. He did not like the way I decorated it. And then the bad one, the head injury, was in July the following year. So it wasn't even a full year that we were married.
Now, this man later went to prison, but one of the things you said before we recorded anything was that he hit you with a shotgun. That shotgun belonged, I believe you said, to his grandfather. Mm-hmm. He later hit another woman with that same shotgun after he got out of prison. It kind of makes me wonder, how often has that shotgun been used to hit a woman with over the years? And was it used by his father, his grandfather?
It's possible. That may have been something that he witnessed and that he learned. As we know, a lot of people learn behaviors. And to me, violence is a learned behavior, and it can be.
Now, when you look at the picture that is from when you were at the hospital, what are your thoughts? I mean, what goes through your head?
I can look at it and I can see my eyes. That's what I looked at, is the one eye that is open because the other one's swollen shut. But it's such an empty look because that's how I felt at that time, because the man that was supposed to take care of me, you know, and love me, caused that. And that was the first thing when I woke up in Vanderbilt that they held a mirror in front of me and said, look, this is what he did to you. I went back to a third grade elementary level cognitively. So I had to go through speech rehab and physical rehab and all of that for over a year. So
back then you would have been about 30 years old or so.
30 or 32.
But you say the people in the hospital, the medical staff, they held a mirror up in front of you and they're the ones that said?
No, my family. I'm one of 5 kids and my dad. My mom had already passed and they're the ones that did it because they didn't know. They didn't have a clue what was going on. I never told them because I was afraid that he would fall through and kill them, anybody I told, because that's what he told me he'd do.
How long has it taken to get over everything that occurred back in the 90s?
You never get over it. You never do. You learn to cope with it, and you learn to take what did happen and whatever feelings that you may start to have, like if I'm out in a crowd and I start feeling like I'm crowded and I can't watch everything and make sure I'm safe, I'll start to have anxiety and then have panic. So you just learn to cope with it. You know, you have to then remind yourself, no, I'm in a safe place. I'm with my friends. They're going to watch out for me. So, I mean, it's just you never get over it. You just learn how to cope.
Trauma, such as what you experienced, I mean, it negatively impacts the brain in a way that will never be reformed or never be. I mean, there's certain aspects of your brain that will never be regained.
Yeah, I figured those are the parts I didn't need. No, no, I mean, you have to kind of take things lightly, you know, if you take it so seriously. But yeah, there is a part. My personality is not the same as what it used to be. I don't let people in as much. I mean, I grew up in the country. Everybody was your friend, and now it's not like that. I mean, so you still have to cope with things and still have to learn. It does change your personality a lot.
Now, I'm guessing one of the things you use to cope with some of the past would be making jewelry.
That and painting and drawing and any kind of art, anything to make things beautiful. You got to make everything beautiful because that's the way life is supposed to be.
So you make a lot of stuff, it sounds like.
I do. I call it MAD, multiple art disorders.
So what about the jewelry? Because, you know, jewelry is something that is so specific for a woman. You know, it seems like it's a lot of times the woman who is the one who is the victim in domestic violence cases.
Yeah, that's true, but I have met a couple of men that have been the victims, and it's harder for them to admit because of their, I guess, more ego, so it's harder for them to admit it, but I just want to bring a little bit of beauty into this world, and if it's something that talks to someone, then that's even better. It should have a purpose. It shouldn't be just go out and buy a diamond and wear it, and it should be something that has meaning, has purpose.
Tiva has an art studio in her home, and she makes everything from silver jewelry to painting things.
Like these. You know, so many people have no idea. And these are just simple little charms, but so many people don't realize what love is. And that's why I did this. Love is patient. Love is gentle. Love is respect. And love is kind. And I mean, if we can start teaching the younger people even now and get that in the millennials, you know, and let them know this is what love is, then maybe that'll help to grow, you know, a more healthy opinion or a healthy look at what love is.
I don't know where you sell your jewelry and your artwork, but has it ever sparked a conversation with a woman who said, oh, you know what?
Multiple times. And I was, over the years, I've never hid anything. Even when I was bald from the head injury, if I went to the store with my family or something and somebody would say, oh, were you in a car wreck? And I always would say, no, my husband tried to kill me. I've always been upfront. I never wanted to hide it. I think almost one out of every two women have experienced it in some way, shape or another, whether it was emotional or whether it was physical. And it just kind of opens the door for them to start talking too. And then I also learned by talking to people like that, that my case really wasn't that bad. A lot of people's had it worse. They may be married to the man for 20 years.
What about some of your other artwork?
This is another piece too. This one's one that I wear. I don't know if you can tell, but it's a butterfly. And then in the center, the body of the butterfly is actually a woman with a long dress on. And the reason for that is because just like a butterfly goes through transformation, then so does a survivor has to go through transformations and stuff. Like you asked me earlier, how do you ever get through this? You know, well, you just learn coping skills. And so it's kind of like transformations. It's growth.
On the butterfly, mm-hmm. how do you put such detail into something so small?
With really good magnifying glasses and real little tiny tools. So this is what's called metal clay, precious metal clay, and it's a silver clay. It comes in gold too. But with it, it's sculptable, moldable, and carvable and stuff like that. So all of my pieces originally I created out of metal clay. And then I do a vulcanized mold and cast it to make multiples of it. You want to see fun stuff? I do a lot of flowers. A lot of things about growth, like nature, is the best example of growing. And each of us have to grow. This is called Tree of Strength. And then we have Tree of Wisdom.
So you made these?
Yes. And then this is Tree of Grace. And then this one's Tree of Faith. I try to name everything so that, and of course I have a palm tree, which is the sea breeze. So yeah, everything has to have a name to it. And I do faces. So that's Vinny. And this is called Bloom in Peace, which is a flower with the peace sign on the inside of it. I always try to promote peace, faith, healing, love, all the things that we need in our everyday life and that we need to show to others as well. I do have awareness ribbon, and I did that not only for domestic violence, but also for cancer awareness.
How do you sell your jewelry?
My website, which is Teva Jane, which is my first and middle name, TevaJane.com, and then I do different shows, and I do exhibits, like I'm going to be at the Brentwood Library the month of December, and then I'll be Oktoberfest and different shows around Nashville.
I see a leather bracelet over there.
Yeah, I do some leather, too.
Micro-sized drill press over there.
Oh, yeah. I work with copper. I work with silver. I'll do some gold, but the metal is so expensive, so I'll stick with copper and silver. But I love all of the elements, all of it. Leather. I love wood. I would love to be a woodworker. Maybe I'll do that when I grow up.
What about the grinder over there? How do you utilize that?
That is for polishing. So let's say I make something out of copper or silver and then the edges. So I use, one side has a cutting compound on it and the other has a polishing compound. So that kind of just brings the surface up better, smooths it out. And I use a lot of hammers. I use torches. It's fun.
So what would you say to somebody who's going through a situation of domestic violence and they don't know what to do or they think they have to stay with the person?
You don't have to stay with them, but you've got to reach out. And the majority of the time, people don't want to reach out. But the first thing I'm going to tell you is reach out to someone that can help you and let them guide you to getting all the things together that you need to get and then get out to safety. You always need your birth certificate, your driver's license. Things like that is what they usually try to take away from you.
Once you do finally get out, what would you say about counseling and group therapy and all of that?
I went to group counseling and also went to a regular, you know, by myself counseling, but I actually went for anger management classes, and I was angry, but then my counselor also informed me that I had every right to be angry with what I had went through, so that helped me too. But group counseling worked probably the best for me, because you start to hear other people talk about their stories, and you find out there really is almost like a textbook of personality traits among abusers. I even did group facilitating for the Legal Aid Society in Clarksville after mine. And for a long time, I would do public speaking. So I went and spoke to different clubs. I went to the Lions Club. I spoke to churches, and it helped me. That was one of my ways of dealing with it. You know, you have to be aware of it. You have to admit it. But you also have to know that you can change your cycle. You can change your life to be able to get out and to survive.
And you did all of that, and now
absolutely.
You've got your own art studio, which is your way of coping, I guess.
Yeah, and for years, this year is the first year that I've devoted strictly to Teva Jane, my jewelry line. Before that, I've taught for over 10 years. I've taught metals. I would go to William Holland School of Lapidary Arts in Young Harris, Georgia. I taught for the Middle Tennessee Gem and Mineral Society. So I always enjoy sharing, but now it's my turn to be stingy and to try to promote my own line and maybe come up with some new designs that really touch people with a purpose, of course.